begin today's shiur. So this is a bit off the daf that we've been doing, but still in the Masechta. I felt this was an important sugya to learn in light of this sugya we did the other day on Erev Shabbos about the different elements of the Ari Miklat. So we spoke about the Gol Hadam a little bit, Machlokas, what gives him the right to chase after the Rotech, either because he had a certain kas that he had to deal with that taiva, and then the tziv says we have to give him some pesach to allow him to deal with it in the proper way, or because he somehow is a shliach bezdin. We say that nafkamina would have been if the rotzeach is mode, if he's mode to the murder, would that allow the galadam to serve as a galadam? If it's midin mises bezdin, hoda and mises bezdin wouldn't allow for it, but if it's simply just to allow a heter to fulfill his taiva. So once he knows that by the guy's admission that his relative was killed by this guy, his taiva will be in effect, and there will be a heter. That's what we discussed last week. And then we also discussed the nature of the Ir Miklat as it relates to the Rotzeach, whether it's a Makom Hatzala, an Eitz Tov, a place to protect him, or it was a Kapara. So I figure let's round it off now to talk about the relationship of the Levim to Ir Miklat, the Levim who lived in the Ari Mikla. That's today's sugya on the Mishnah and Gemara, Daf Yud Gimel. So the Mishnah, not going to read from the beginning of the Mishnah, but at least from the top of Yud Gimel, the Mishnah tells us that Malim Hayu Aschar Levim, Divrei Rebbe Yehuda, they would pay rent to the Levim according to Rebbe Yehuda, and Rebbe Meir Omer Lo Hayu Malim Lem Schar, they would not pay rent to the Levim. So Rashi writes, Malim Hayu Ha'arim Schar Levim, Sherotzchim, Sochem mehem es bati adira, when the murderers would be sent to the Ari Miklat to protect them, or perhaps as a kapar for them, they would have to pay rent to Levim. Levim, they owned it, they lived there, and you have to rent their properties from them. So that's the understanding of Rashi. So the machlokas here in the Mishnah is, do they have to pay rent to the Levim, or do they not need to pay rent to the Levim? And hopefully, as you saw in the Yushalmi, the machlokas here seems to be, of course, the cities need to be given to Levim and even a place to live. They were not given any nachla. There's actually an Isser Deraisa for them to have chelak and nachla, the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Ekev. But they need a place to live, obviously. So the Ari Miklat were given to Levim to live. So in what way was it given? So the Yushalmi says there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Was it given betoras chaluka, like a chelak and nachla to them? Or betoras matana, a gift? Meaning a gift, not that they own it, it's not their chelik, it's not their nachla, but they need a place to live. And the lashon of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is, he explains this, the tzad of Betoras Matana, the Or HaChaim writes, V'nosnu levim perish hagam shetziv Hashem shelo yet lalevim chelik v'nachla ba'aretz. Granted, the Pasuk says that there's an iser for them to have a chelik ba'aretz. Ava Betoras Chesed yitnu lehem, it was a tzedakah to them, they need a place to live. Matnas chinim, yimashi yigim. It's a place for you to live. It's not yours, but you need a place to live. Kedin shemefarnes emisha hisigo yado. A person who needs help, a person who needs money. You need to give them money, you need to give them a parnasi, you need to give them a job, you need to give them a place to live. So this is betoras matana, that's the tzad. And if it's betoras matana, that means they are not the owners, they are not the landlords, they would not be able to collect rent. That would be shitas re'meir, lo hayu malin lehem schar. Rebbe Yehuda holds that Betoras Chaluka, it was given to them as their Chelik V'nachla. While Shevet Binyamin had a Chelik altogether, and Shevet Yehuda had a Chelik altogether, and Shevet Yisachar had a Chelik, Levim did not have a Chelik in one location. Their Chelik was dispersed throughout 48 cities in Eretz Yisrael. But it was Betoras Chaluka, but it was a different type of Chaluka. But in the end of the day, it was something owned by the Levim, and therefore they had the right to collect Schar from the Rotzchim who lived there. That's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Fine. Now, as for Tosos writes that the Rotzchim would have to pay mas varnuna, which is taxes they have to pay the Levim, and he says, "Delo tema gzeres hamelach al Levim lakev osam b'iram." It's just not fair for the Levim. So the way Tosos kind of neutralizes this machlokas, Tosos says that mikya din, it's really not that they collect rent. The Levim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they're not the owners. It's Betaras Matana, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. But just, it's not fair to them. And then it's not fair. So the Torah said, not the Torah, but Chazal has to institute that the Levim have something. Not because they're the owners, But it just wouldn't be fair to make the Levim live in these cities and have the murderers live amongst them and not to pay any taxes, not to help support the local schools and the roads and the transportation, all that. They need to help. So not because they're the owners, but because it's the fair thing to do. So the Tosfos does neutralize this machlokas, but we're going to work within the world of the Yushalmi right now, that the machlokas between, again, Rabbi Yehuda and Meir is b'toras chaluka or b'toras matana. So now we have the other areas where this comes up as well. And other nafkaminas that this very machlokas, this very chakira. So if you take a look, what you didn't have in front of you, I couldn't find this on the Otzer Chachma. I'm not that good at it. Getting there, hopefully. But I couldn't find Tosefta in Becha and Bikurim. But the Tosefta in Bikurim, if you had a chance to look at it, the Tosefta writes, regarding Bikurim, there's something called Mikra Bikurim. Mikra Bikurim is found in Parshas Kisavo. In the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, there's what's called Mikra Bikurim as one mitzvah, and then there's Vidur Meiser, which is another mitzvah, where when you go bring Bikurim, Bikurim comes from which fruit, guys, do you know? Shivas Aminim, right? The first fruits of that season that come from Shivas Aminim, so the farmers bring it to the Yushalayim, and along with that, they give it to the Kohanim. It's one of the 24 Manos Kuna, so they have to do what's called Mikra Bikurim. They recite it. So the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yossi Omer, he quoted from Rabbi Meir, that Kohanim Mivin V'lo Korin, a Kohen, if the Kohen has a land, has property, he brings, but he does not recite Mikra Bikurim, Mipnei Shelo Natlu Chelek Bartz. They have no land. The land that they have, there's only B'toras Matana, not B'toras Chaluka. That's Rabbi Meir. And it's Rabbi Meir L'shitaso, the Yushalmi says, in the Makos, that Rabbi Meir says they don't collect rent, and they also can't say Mikra Bikurim because the property is not theirs. It's only B'toras Matana. As for Rabbi Yossi himself, he says, Ani Omer, I hold, Kishem Shenatlu Levim, Kach Nitnu L'Kohanim. He says, just like Levim have a chelek, so too Kohanim. It's a bit more sophisticated than I'm trying to say. I'm oversimplifying things right now. But Rabbi Yossi says that, no, they do have a chelek, ba'aretz, it's b'toras chaluka, in which case they would be able to say mikra bikurim, to which Rabbi Yossi aligns with the shita of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah Makos, that Rabbi Yehuda says, Levim collect rent because of b'toras chaluka, and Rabbi Yossi says they could say mikra bikurim because it's also b'toras chaluka. The first shita is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir. So now, in Ma'aser Sheni, you have a similar machlokas when it comes to vidui Ma'aser. You have to own property in order to allow a person to go through the mitzvah of vidui Ma'aser. So here we have the Ma'aser, the Mishnah says in Ma'aser Sheni. Mikan Amru, Yisrael Mamzer Misvadim. They're allowed to say vidui because the Yisrael Mamzer have a chelik baretz. Aval lo gerim, v'lavadim mishuchrarim, shein lem chelik baretz, a ger. Or an Eved Kanani who was freed, who in essence, after being freed, is a ger, have no chelek baretz. Rabbi Meir Omer, af lo kohanim ulevim shelo natlu chelek baretz. Rabbi Meir is l'shitaso in three different places now. The Rabbi Meir holds that they can't say vidui meiser either because the property that they live in, the Ari Miklat, are only b'toras matana, not b'toras chaluka. But Rabbi Yossi responds back l'shitaso, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yeshlam Ari Migrash, they have Ari Migrash, and therefore since they have a Chelek Baretz, they do have the right to say Vidui Meiser, so he's consistent to what he says in Bikurim, that just like they could say Vidui, just like they could say Mikra Bikurim, they could also say Vidui Meiser, and he goes in the same camp as Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah in Meseches Makos. And this is all, what I just said is pretty much what the Yushalmi had said. Now the Yushalmi is a bit confusing if you didn't look at the Mefarsh on the side, because Yushalmi, we don't have the same Mesorah, the wasn't preserved as much as the Bavli was preserved, so sometimes there are different Gersos, it wasn't as elucidated as we have in the Bavli, so you need a lot of times the Mefarshim on the side to kind of fill in the what's missing. Those looking to buy Yushalmi, there's a beautiful Yushalmi, Rav Chaim Kineski has a parish on much of the Yushalmi, not all of the Yushalmi, but much of the Yushalmi has a parish, which is a running commentary, it's fantastic. Rav Asher Weiss, he gave like a small hesped in Rav Chaim Kineski. It was like a 12-minute thing that was going around. So he said something which I don't want to disagree with Rav Asher Weiss, but I didn't feel that this was correct. He said he was so enamored by Rav Chaim, what he accomplished. But one of the things he was so enamored by was that he wrote something so simple. He wrote a parish on the Yushalmi, something so simplistic. It was like an English translation. Some Rav Chaim's level to write such a thing, it's, he felt that's a humble parish of Rav Chaim. And as humble as Rav Chaim is, but I don't think it was like a small matter. That was a huge thing. Like, you look at the Yishalmi is not easy to read. And if you compare Rav Chaim's parish to the other parishim, Rav Chaim's parish just flows like water. Like Rashi is very simple. It's very easy. It's not a small matter. It wasn't just a translation. What Rashi did, he made the Bavli accessible to us. Rav Chaim made the Yishalmi very accessible. So I don't think it was just like a simple translation. I think it's a much more sophisticated than Rav Asher Weiss makes it out to be. But either way, he has a wonderful parish. It's not in front of you, but whatever parish is needed, it helps you get to the Yishalmi. So the Yishalmi, what I just pretty much told you, was what the Yishalmi said, lining up all the shitas with the gears to change on the side. The Rabbi Yossi lines up with the Rabbi Yehuda in three places, and Rabbi Meir is Lashitaso in all three places. Again, rent for Ari Miklat, Maiser Sheni, and the world of Bikurim. Okay, so we're good now? Excellent. Let's bring this Alach LaMaisa bit into our world, something more relevant to us. And that's the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Here the Gemara tells us a very important daf in Maseches Brachos, various halachas and sugis to work through. And the Gemara is talking about whether or not women are chayiv in benching on a d'oraisa level or not. So smack in the middle of the Gemara, Amar Ravina L'Rava, Noshim bibirkas hamazon d'oraisa o d'rabbanon. So what's their level of obligation? The Ma'ay Nafkamina, what's the practical difference? And the Gemara says, La fuke rabim yidei chavasin. Can a woman be motzi other people, men? Iyamis, if you're going to say that the women's level of chiv is a deraisa level, so asi deraisa mapik deraisa. So their obligation could be motzi another man's obligation if they're both the same level of deraisa. But if el iyamis derabanan, the woman's obligation is that of only derabanan, then she's what's called shenim mechuyev bedaver. V'chol shenim mechuyev bedaver, she or he who's not chayv in a deraisa level is eino motzi as a rabim. Yidei chavasin may not be motzi one who is chayv on a deraisa level. So the machlokas we showed him between Rashi and Tosis is, why would women be chayv only on a derabanan level? Why wouldn't they be chayv mid-deraisa? They also, it's not a time-bound mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah say she has ban grama. They should certainly should, they should be chayv. So Rashi tells him, why would you think, what's the tzad to explain that they're only chayv mid-derabanan, says Rashi? Dechsiv al ha'aretz ha'tova asher nasan lach, va'aretz lo nitna l'nekevos l'schalik, that the property was not given, the chalik bars were not given to women. Ah, but no, Tzlafchad, that was different. They were taken from Yotzi Mitzrayim, from their father Tzlachad. It's a whole other different point there. Look at the Gemara's and Bab Basa about that. But leaving that aside, Nekevos had no Chelek Baritz. So no Chelek Baritz, and that's part of the essence of Ar-Tatov, we say that therefore only those who have a Chelek Baritz, a Chayiv in benching, those who do not have Chelek Baritz are Pater Midaraisa from benching. Tos asks a very strong question. What's Tos's question? Ah, what about Karn Levim? So if that's the case, Karn Levim, Nami Tibai, Shere, the Gemara should ask the question, what's the level of obligation by Karin and Levi? Shere lo nitlu chelik baritz. They don't have a property, they don't get chelik baritz, as we've been learning up until now. Im kein lo yotziu achem yidei chavasin bebirkas hamazon. Does that mean that a Kohen, a Levi, cannot be motzi someone else in benching? Certainly not, says Tosos. So therefore, he has to go on to a different reason why it wouldn't be pater. Nothing to do with the owning property in Eretz Yisrael. Rather, based on Abrischa Shechazam to Bivsarenu, Valtoras Shemalatanu, that women are not shayach by Bris Mila, nor by Limud Torah. Limud Torah is a bit of a larger discussion, but our point really is the question that Tosos has on Rashi. That he says, Karn Levim have no chelik baritz, so you're going to say they can't be motzi, the other people who are chayiv, the Yisraelim? So we have two answers to respond to this question of Tosfos. What's the first answer? What does the Shulti Giburim say, guys?
Rashi says, Ein Achanami.
Yeah, Ein Achanami. They have no Chayv Baritz. And they're not Chayv Midaraisa. You're right. Ein Achanami. The Kohanim Levim are only Chayv Midirabanan, which is an incredible Chiddush, obviously, to say that. That a Kohanim Levi are not Chayv on a Midaraisa level. But that's what the Shulti Giburim says. They have no Chayv Baritz. But the answer of the Magid of Ram, who had a chance to see the Magid of Ram's answer? Anyone see him? What? Hold on, Rabbi Yossi Shita. Says Magen Avraham Kuf Pei Vav, he writes that quoting based on the Shulchan Aruch that Noshim Chayavos Bebirkas Hamazon is a Safeku, whether the Chayav Midrais or not, our Gemara here in Brachos. Dichsiv Al Aretz Atovah VeNoshim Lo Hayol Lahem Chelik Baretz Mitzad Atman Aval Kohanim Levim Hayol Lahem Ari Migra. She quotes Hagos Hashri, is against the Shilti Agiburim. And therefore, Karn Levim are in fact chayiv mi de araisa. the Magen Avraham is mechaven to the position of the Tosfos Rush. He doesn't quote the Tosfos Rush. He seemingly didn't see the Tosfos Rush. The Tosfos Rush says the same thing. The Tosfos Rush and Daf Chaf Amibayz, he connects the sugya of benching to the sugyas of Ma'aser Sheni and Bikurim, as we discussed. So he says the Tosefta writes that Rabbi Yossi quotes from Rabbi Meir that Kohanim Mevin Velo Koren Shelo Not Lul Chelik Baretz. But Ani Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, I think Kashem Shelo Not Lul HaLevim Kach Not Lul Kohanim, that Levim Kohanim do have a Chelik Baretz. And so he says, according to Rabbi Meir, no Chelik Baretz. How does the Kohen Levi bench? So he says, Mi Lididon says the Tosefta Rash Lo Tiksha the Kaimulan we hold. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, whenever there's machlokas between the two, halacha, Rabbi Yossi. Why? What does the Gemara say? Why the halacha Rabbi Yossi? What's the phrase used by the Gemara? Nimoku imo. Nimuke Yosef is based on the Gemara. Nimoku imo. He has the depth. Yossi, Rabbi Yossi is always correct. Rabbi Yossi, Paskins like, we will pass Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Meir. So what comes out from this is, no, they do have chelik baretz. Well, again, Tosas asks, are you going to say that a Kohen Levi who have no chelik baretz? Are they not going to bench anymore? So what comes out is that Shulz Gevurim says, Ein Echanami, they don't have a chiv to bench on a deraisa level. But the Magid of Ram and Tosas Rashi that no, Rashi holds like Rabbi Yossi, who they do have a chelek ba'aretz. The Ari Mikla that was given to them were given the Torah's chaluka, and therefore their chiv to bench on a deraisa level. Now, why wasn't Tosas satisfied with that answer? Why couldn't Tosas think of this answer? How do we know that? Exactly. Tosfos and Maku said, Pshat of Schar Lelevim was not that they're paying rent. Lelevim don't deserve rent. They don't own it. What Pshat? Because he said it wouldn't be fair, just not fair for people to live in the same community not to share the taxes. So they give it to Lelevim to cover the taxes, not because of rent, not because of an ownership, not because of a bilis, but rather because of the communal obligations that people have in paying for taxes and sharing streets and sharing transportation and sharing parks, sharing schools, all of that. That's why there's a need for taxes. Atosas is a shitaso that holds that the Levim do not have b'toras chaluka, and that's why Tosas couldn't suggest the possibility that Kohen Levim would bench on a deraisa level. Are we good so far? Excellent, fine. So now, let's move on to another Nafka Mina, probably a shorter shiur today, another Nafka Mina that appears in the Rama. Rama Mehilchas Avodah Zarah, Avodah Kochavim in Perek Dalet, talks about the halachas of Ir Nedachas. The halachas of Ir Nedachas, that we have to do to the all the criteria of which cities, how many people from the city, the rove, who's part of the city, who's considered a guest, who's considered one living there. So he writes in Halacha Dalet, Ein Achas me ari hamiklat nases ir hanidachas. An ir miklat cannot be in ir nidachas. Shenemar be'echad sharecha. It has to be a city that you own. Sharecha, that shar shelcha, that you have an ownership of. Velo yushlaim either nases ir nidachas lefi shalom nischalku l'shvatim. The yushlaim is not divided amongst the shvatim. That's a discussion in the Gemara. One opinion holds that it was divided between which two Shvatim? Who knows? Yehuda. Yehuda. They shared it. Mizbeach was a point of contention, the Gemara says. And so too, Ir Nedachas, rather Ir Miklat, was not given out. It was not Nishalka Levim. It's not called Be'echad Sharecha. Says the Ravid, I don't understand. Liadati Ma'ayin Lozeh. How does the Rambam learn this? Below Nemar Gemara El Yushlaim. Gemara only says Yushlaim Lo Nishalka L'Shvatim. From where does Rambam get that we extend the same exemption to an Ir Miklat? To which he says, about Kol Ari Miklat, Hashvatim Nitnu Osam Mechalkayim. The Shvatim gave up from their own property a city, the 48 cities for Levim to live in. That was Betaras Chaluka, says the Ravid. So it comes out, the Machlokis we've shown him here between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether or not an Ir Miklat is subject to Ir Nedachas, is whether or not the Ir Miklat was Betaras Chaluka, in which case it's owned by them, it's called Be'echad Sharecha, and subject to Ir Nedachas like the Ravid, or no, it's only Betaras Matana, and they're not called the owners, it's not called Be'echad Sharecha, and they're exempt from the halachas of Ari Mikla, of Ir Nedachas, rather. Okay. Now, according to this, that the Rambam holds that the Ir Miklat is not given over to Levim, but Taras Chalukah, that's why there's not subject to Ir Nedachas. One would have thought that Rama would also hold that there's no schar collected either. To line everything up, he should seemingly paskin like the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that lo hayu malin lehem schar, because Levim are not called the owners. So Rambam actually breaks it down. Now, if you read a little bit of the Gemara, this would have been clear from the Gemara. But let's read through the Gemara inside Daf Yud Gimel right after the Mishnah. If you didn't have a chance to learn it, let's learn it now together. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Kana, Machlokes Bishesh. There were 48 cities divided 42 and 6. And we'll see the Nafkaminas in the Rambam in just a moment. As a side point, in Chassidus, just for a moment, it's brought down by Merin Desvar, the Shem Yishmu, one of them. The difference between the 42 and 6 corresponds to the Shema Yisrael, which has 6 words, and the Vahafsa, which has 42 words. He connects it. These are very correlated. Take a look there if you'd like. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kana machlokas b'sheish, this machlokas, whether you pay schar to Levim, only relates to the 6 cities, the 6 Ari Miklat, they're called, as opposed to the other 42 are actually called Ari HaLevim. You have to know these terms to be clear what's going on in the Rambam. 6 Ari Miklat, because the essence of the Ari Miklat were to save. We'll see, that was the point. And Ari Levim was for a place for them to live, even though they also saved, if that wasn't the goal. So it says again, the Gemara, that the Machlokas is B'sheish, Demar Savar Lachem Liklita, it should be for you to protect, for the Rotschim to have protection, says Rashi. And Mar Savar Lachem L'chol Tzarcheichem, it should be for you, for all your needs, for the, all the needs necessary. So that's the machlokas, that they could go there to even go for free, not having to pay. Not just to protect us, but also to cover my costs. That's the machlokas legabi the sheish Ari Mikla. Ava barboi mushtayim, the 42 other cities, which we'll call the Ari Levim, divrei hakol malin lehem schar. Everyone says you pay schar because those are the cities of the Levim. So amale rava, havade lachem lechol tzarcheichem. What do you mean? Lachem certainly means for all their needs, that they don't have to pay anything. Ella, the machlokas really is Amarava machlokas barbai mushtayim, the 42 cities, the Ari Levim, the Mar Saver Valem Titnuki in Chalaklita, Umar Saver Valem Titnuki Anach Mahanach Lechol Terchechem, Afhani Nami Lechol Terchechem. That when we add the 42 cities on top of the 6 cities that exist, are we adding on that these 42 cities also provide protection, but it's not free living? Or when we add the 42 cities, it's all the same halachas. Just like there was free rent in the 6 cities, also the free rent applies to the 42 cities as well. About B'sheish, when it comes to the 6 cities, Divri HaKol Lo Hayimalin Lem Schar. So it comes out is as follows, L'maskana. The 6 cities are Miklat, free rent, and the Machlokas is L'gabe the 42 other cities, whether or not they pay rent or they don't pay rent. So look what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Ches Halacha Yud. He says, Ma hefresh yesh bein Ari Miklat shehuvdalu lemiklat. What's the difference between the 6 cities that their main function were to protect, ubein shar Ari Levim, and the other 42 cities that the Levim lived in? What's the difference? Shari Miklat koltos bein ledas bein shloledas hovnechas bem niklat. The 6 cities, the goal, the purpose was to protect them. So even if the Ratzach was unaware that he was in an Ari Miklat, he stumbled upon the near Miklat, he's protected, the Gaal Adam has no right to kill him. However, Shar Ari Hilavim, the other 42 cities, Ein Koltos El Ladas. It only protects him if he's aware, if he's in one of the cities. But if he's unaware, and the Gaal Adam knows that he's unaware, then the Gaal Adam has every right to kill him. He has to have some awareness. Because the essence of the Ari Hilavim was not to save. It was an added bonus if you knew about it, but that wasn't the goal of it. And Rotzeach Hadar Bari Miklat, a murderer who lives in one of the cities, Einan Nosen Schar Beso. He does not pay the rent of the house. Bahadar Bishar Ari Levim, Nosen Schar Lebabayis. But if you live in the other 42 cities, you do pay Schar. In other words, what comes out from the Rambam, the way Paskins is, like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that the 6 cities were Betoras Matana. But the other 42 cities were Betoras Chalukah. So you don't pay rent to the 6 cities, which is only Betoras Matana, but you do pay the 42 cities, which is Betoras Chalukah. That's the chiluk that comes out according to the Rambam Paskins, based on this the sugya seemingly here. Everyone with me right now? Fine. And now the question is, if that's really true, Rambam holds that there's a difference about which cities are considered Betoras Chalukah, which one's Betoras Matana. So how do we understand the Rambam by the Ir Nedachas? Ir Nachas does not apply to the cities. So let's read that again. You tell me the answer now.
I would say different cities that you're talking about.
Ah, so now listen to the dig. Says the Rambam in Hilchas over the Chachamim, Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet. Ein Achas Me'arei Miklat Nazas Ir Nedachas. Implying the Arei HaLevim are subject to Ir Nedachas. Once we have this distinction from the Rambam, Hilchas Rotech, the difference between Arei Miklat versus HaLevim, this makes all the sense in the world why he only says Ari Miklat are pater from Ir Nedachas, but Ari Levim would be subject to these halachas. Now, that being said, what would you think, moving ahead, before you look now in the next two Rambams by Bikurim and Maaser Sheni, what would you think the Rambam would hold by Vidui Maaser, the Kohen Levi, and Mikra Bikurim?
Echaiv,
yeah? Eben Achla. In all cities?
They have an
Akhla
somewhere.
Only 42? Yeah. Not the 6. That's what you think, right? Yeah. Anyone think otherwise?
Oh, you're trying to trick us.
No trick. Just trying to... All of them?
But does it matter? Yeah, because it says as long as you can have a land, then they do.
As long as you can have a land.
They say the Pasuk says that you got a land. So they did get a land. It doesn't matter which one.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
They should be chayav wherever they're from because they do have an Akhla in those 42 cities.
Okay, let's see what they say. The Rambam writes, look at the end of Hilchas Maaser Sheni, the end of Perek Yud Aleph, which is the end of all Hilchas Maaser Sheni, the very last halacha, halacha Yud Zayin. He says, Yisrael mamzerin mitzvadin aval lo gerim v'avadim mishuchrarim v'fnei shein lem chelek baretz v'arehu omer v'es ha'adam asher nasata lanu. Kohanim levim mitzvadim afal pish lo nitlu chelek baretz Yesh lahem arei migrash. A different word now, arei migrash. And again, we'll look in Hilchas Bikurim. The Rambam writes in the halacha, in Perek Dad Halacha Gimel, Hager mevi v'kare shenemar laviyam av hamon goyim v'nesaticha harehu av l'chol agoa kol olam kulo shenichnes n'tachas kan v'shrina ul avram ha'isa shua t'chile shir subin av v'aretz find having to do with the ger v'chein kawan laviyam mevim v'karen Mipnei sheish lahem arei migash. Yeah, this is what's called arei migash. That is what the Rambam says. So we would have thought there should be a distinction between arei levim, arei miklat. What's arei migash? So here we have to go back to understand the pasuk. What's going on? Go back to the beginning where we saw the Orach Chaim. And Perek Lamhev Parshas Maaseh, we'll read through pasuk Beis and maybe Gimel even. The pasuk says, "Tzaves bnei Yisrael v'nasnu la'levim minachlas achuzasam arim la'sheves." You give them a land to live in. U'migrash la'arim sivivoseim titnu la'levim. You give a migrash to accompany the cities to go around them. Vayu ha'arim lahem la'sheves. The cities for them to live. U'migrashem the field. We'll look at Rashi. U'levehemtam u'lechusham u'lechol chayasam. The migrashem will be for the animals. And as a rechush, sounds like a nachla, and for the chayasim and for the wild animals, says Rashi, u'migrash revach makom chelak chutzlir, some spacious area outside chutzlir, saviv lios lenoylir, you know, gardens look very nice, some space, some grass looks very nice. Vein rasham livnos sham bais, they can't build a house. Lozin toa kerem, they can't plant vineyards. Lozorazir, they can't plant anything either. L'chol chayasim l'chol tzarcheichem. As well, for all the different needs here. So it seems from the Rambam, even though there's a halacha, you can't really plant there, but if things were to grow in the area, at least they have that, that Ari Migrash was given to them, again, li'ulvehemtam v'lirachusham. They own it. So I think the Ari Migrash is a reference, it seems to me, to the fields that are around all the cities. Bein Ari Miklat, Bein Ari Levim, they all had this Migrash that went around it, and that was Betoras Rechusham, Betoras Chaluka, given to them. So since they own land, even though they may not be able to plant it, but let's say the Levi has a farm elsewhere, let's say, even though it may not be his, but he's able to get fruits from some other land he was borrowing, since they do own Migrash, Ari Migrash they own, that gives them the right to say Vidui Maaser and Mikra Bikurim. So it comes out is there are really two types of cities, but then there's a third city. There's Ari Mikla, which is only Bataris Matana, they don't own. There's Ari Levim, which they do own, and they could collect schar. And then again, it's called Ari Migash, which is the field around the cities which they do own, and that would allow them to go ahead with the mitzvah of Vidui Meiser and Mikra Bikurim.
Can Rebbe just repeat the three types of cities?
There's Ari Levim, and there's Ari Mikla, and there's Ari Migrash. Ari Mikla are the six cities that are main purpose is to protect, and that was only given Bataras Matana. Levim don't own those cities, they can't collect schar in those cities. Then there's Ari Levim, the other 42 cities, which are given for the Levim to live in, Bataras Chaluka, whereby they can collect from those cities, they can collect schar. Nafkmina would be which cities were subject to Ir Nedachas, would be Ari Levim would be subject to Ir Nedachas since they own it, as opposed to the Ari Mikla would not be subject to Ir Nedachas since they don't own it. But then there's this third category, which is called Ari Migrash, which is a reference to the fields that go around each of the types of cities, whereby there's a pasuk says, L'ruchusham, they have ownership to it, Bataras Chaluka, so therefore anything that grows from the fields, from the Migrash, or anywhere else, would be subject to both Vidui Meiser and Mikra Bikurim. Yeah.
The fact that it's called an Ir Migrash make it contradictory, because if I don't think Migrash from the Ir, and
yeah, but it's a reference to, since they're the Migrash that are attached to the cities, that's why he refers to them as that, I believe, yeah.
Is there a difference between the Migrash in terms of Chalukah and the Yer Levim, that the Yer Levim is given by the other Shvatim and the Migrash is given by Hashem himself?
It doesn't seem that way. The Rambam doesn't make such a distinction, so it doesn't seem that way. And when they talk about the...
The Rambam asked him, what? I would call her Migrash, I thought it must be also about...
Yeah, but that's about the city where they live, the residents, not about the fields.
No, exactly. That's the Ari Levim. There's a difference between their...
In the cities, but not the Migrash.
No, the Migrash is something that was given by God himself, right?
Yeah.
In the Ari Levim, because you said Torah Chaluka by both.
The Ari Migrash are the fields that go around the cities.
They don't have the same ownership. The Levim might have more of an ownership on the Migrash than the Ari Levim, right?
I'm not sure it'd be more of an ownership. I don't know, in what nafkamina that would be, more ownership.
Because if you didn't have the Ari Migrash, would you be able to say that they had a chelek in Eretz Yisrael? That was miyuchad to them, really?
If they didn't
have it was given to them by the Lishvatim.
I'm not following. We'll talk about it afterwards. Yeah.
Does Rambam ever use the word Ari Levim?
He used that in Hilchot Tzeh, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, Ari the look at Halachot Tzeh already. Kol Ari Levim, Koltos, Kol Achas Men Ir Miklati. They serve also as Ir Miklat. Then he says, Halachas Mahevish Ben Ari Miklat versus the other Ari Levim.
Assuming that because he uses Ari Migrash and then contrast with Ari Levim, we assume it's not the same thing, even though it's in the separate six levels. Meaning, it could be that he's just contrasting Ari Levim and Ari Miklat because the Gemara contrasts it, but when he says Ari Migrash and other halachos, he's just referring to Ari Levim, no?
It could be. It could be Ari Migrash is a reference to Ari Levim. It could be that...
Because Ari Mikla, like he was pointing out, is Migrash is a Migrash and ear is an ear. It happens to be... It goes Ari Migrash because the whole point of the Migrash is that it was, you know, they had the ear and they had the Migrash outside. So it could just be he's referring to the Ari Levim because...
It could be. He doesn't say that. It could be Ari Migrash or the Ari Migrash of the Ari Levim.
Right.
Or it could be... Again, I didn't seem to talk about this. I don't know. I have any proofs for this. Or Ari Migrash, you could say, even the Ari Miklats Migrash are also subject to this halacha.
You can't plant it anyway, meaning...
Yeah, so in terms of lemaisa, what would be there? So could we think that maybe on its own grow, let's say, if that would happen? Or it could be that if they have fields elsewhere where they can grow things, the fact that they own land here in the Migrash, that allows them to say vidui meiser and mikra in the fruits.
The ear, then, because someone can grow in the ear. You can plant a pot, you know, you can plant it in front of your house in the ear, no? That would be special
for Migrash. Yeah, and it could be even in the own city. However they grow a plant, the fact that they own our Migrash would be enough for them to say the do these mitzvahs. Yeah.
I have a question. In regards to Rashi and Tosfos, right, would they hold the same diuk of... it seems that Rashi and Tosfos are speaking on regards to the six cities, right? Even those you pay.
But they're going on whatever the Maskan of the Gemara is, which is the Machlok is really about the 42 cities.
Oh, they're not going on...
Yeah, initially the six cities, but then the Maskan, seemingly their Machlok still remains for the Maskan, that the Machlok is about the 42 cities, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you wouldn't say that, I thought in my head maybe to say that, in the Mishnah at least, that...
Okay, fine. Shkoyach, guys. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue back with the next sugya and the Gemara. Yeah. Sure, pleasure.